If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Genesis this evening. We're going to be looking at the last few verses in Genesis. We've been in Genesis for a while now, and now we come to the end of chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 31 in chapter 1. Again, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. It says in God's word, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, on all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Let me read that one again. "And God said, Behold, I have given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, on all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Let's ask the Lord to help with these few verses here today. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we come at the time of the worship, with the preaching of your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, today that, Lord, you have, that you enrich us, Lord, with your truth here today. That we see, Lord, all of Genesis 1, Lord, points to your glory. So let us see your glory even in these passages, these verses here today, Lord, on how we see your visitation. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us today as we walk through these verses. Encourage us today in this word. Let us see that these words are still helpful for us today. You have given us these words, Lord, these verses, Lord, for us, Lord, to still to see your glory even today. So, Lord, help us appreciate these verses, Lord. Appreciate the vegetation, Lord, you have given to us. Help me preach your word with clarity, Lord, and preach your word in truth. Let me, Lord, trust you, Lord, through these verses, that your church can be edified and be encouraged. So I pray that, Lord, that your word go forward in power, Lord, that when we leave this place today, Lord, we can leave this place, Lord, encouraged, Lord, that Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. He reigns supreme. That same Christ, Lord, will come back and grab us one day and take us back home with him. So, Lord, let us be encouraged here, Lord, even in these few verses in Genesis 1, that, Lord, we can find comfort in you. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us today and guide us through these verses. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. As Christians, we have the freedom. We are bound to God's moral law, yes, but we still have freedom. The Ten Commandments is the law of God written on our hearts now. And the Ten Commandments can be summed up in two laws: loving God and loving neighbor. Those things God have given to us to place those things in our hearts. So we have freedom in Christ, but we are still bonded to his law. Not by force, but by, in a sense of eagerness from our own heart for what we have now in Christ. He has given us a new heart that want to obey his laws, that desire to obey his laws, that keep his laws. That's a new heart we have in Christ. But our old flesh still want to reject the law. So for the most part, we do have freedom in Christ. But the freedom in Christ doesn't undermine the law or the moral law. Whatever freedom we have, it still should submit to loving God and loving neighbor, correct? So freedom should cause us to honor God in all things. And one area of freedom God gives us is dieting. Again, dieting. We will learn today of God's blessing in vegetation. But it does not undermine God's freedom of eating other things that are vegetation. We're going to learn later in the New Testament. But I think we should be careful on both sides here. We can go too far and belittle God's blessing of vegetation by promoting an atmosphere of meat is better than vegetation. I don't know if you ever get around somebody and you ever try to say anything about eating vegetables or eating, you know, you want to be a vegetarian and things of that nature, and they kind of say, ew, disgusting. And they trying to downplay it. I think that goes too far on that side. Somebody try to downplay vegetation and say meat is the only way. Because vegetation, God said, is good. If we mock what God said is good, we miss out on the blessing God is revealing to us here in Genesis 1:29 and the verses today. But on the other side of this, we must be careful promoting the atmosphere. You must be a vegetarian. Because we learn in Romans 14:20 that God has given us freedom now to eat other things. So how do we deal with both of this? God calls a blessing for the fruit and the vegetation of the ground. But also God now gives us freedom to actually eat other things. So as we study tonight in these verses 29 and 31, I pray that we see the beauty of vegetation and not depreciate what God called as good and give and what God gives us to be sustained by. So I pray that we don't misrepresent what God has given to us. So those that are strongly in objection to vegetarianism, may you be blessed tonight and be thankful of God's blessing of his creation. And for those that only see the benefits of vegetation so you can have a good health, may you encourage to see how vegetation is good regardless of your health condition. But God said it's good. Because a lot of times people want to go vegetarian when they talk about vegetables because they want to have good health. It's not even saying anything about health right here in verses 29 and 31. We're going to get into that a little bit later. We're going to do this today in 3 points. The providence of God and food and man for mankind, verse 29. Point number 2, the providence of God and food for animals in verse 30. And the last point, providence of God from his perfect wisdom in verse 31. Let's jump in point number 1, the providence of God and food for mankind. Look at verse 29 with me. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth. And every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. After God brings about the heavens and the earth, we found out here in the first few verses in Genesis 1, then he filled both of them, the heavens and the earth, with his glory. He put stars out there in the universe. He put birds up in the heavens. He even put land animals on land. Then he put actually mankind here on earth. And God gave mankind the responsibility, we talked about last week, of being fruitful and multiply and subdue and have dominion. These were all blessings from God. How he structured the whole universe. He done it all by his wisdom and all his glory. That everything in the universe points to the creativity and the wisdom of God. There is no excuse, unbelievers. There is no excuse. God's glory is seen and through all creation. If you look at the stars outside at night, they are shouting and saying, there is a God. But also we see it as a blessing. And we see the birds' wings, a span so far within the heavens. And as they fly through the sky, they see the beauty of God. Everything is shouting out, it is the Creator. Then we also see the blessing of God and being fruitful and multiply. That not only that the heavens, the stars show his glory, be fruitful and multiply as mankind give birth to other kids and grandkids. And as we subdue the land, Those things were a blessing that God gives us that he didn't have to give to us. Because he wants all of mankind, all of the world, to testify of his glory. That the whole world be representations of him. Every single being that walked the earth. But also it's a blessing to know that God shows his wisdom in sustaining man too. Not only God puts us here to be fruitful and multiply, but he also gives us what we need to survive. He gives mankind every plant yielding seed and tree yielding its seeds for food. Again, we see here that man was not eating meat. Again, in Genesis 1, man was not eating meat. Man started eating meat after the fall. And God gives mankind vegetation because it is good. I would say we have not appreciated the beauty of vegetation. In our society, vegetables and fruit do not compare to eating meat. That New York strip, that T-bone, that small little filet mignon. Fruit don't compare to that. But God in Genesis 1 didn't say meat is for mankind to eat. But he blesses vegetation for us to enjoy. And as you see and ponder how trees grow and produces fruit, and that fruit has a seed in it and it produces another tree, we then can see the wisdom of God throughout the nature. The vegetation throughout nature is pointing at the glory of God. It's no excuse how a tree can grow up and have a seed in it. Then as your fruit falls to the ground and falls into the soil and grow up another tree. All of it testifying of God's wisdom. We don't think about it like that. And I'm talking about that here shortly, the reason why we don't think about it. Why do we don't pay attention to the seeds falling to the ground? The growth of a tree. It's a reason why we don't pay attention to it. But it's no excuse that God's glory is seen in it. We shouldn't wait to pick up a book or a TV show to see God's glory. We should go outside and see the glory of God and how strawberries are formed. Or even how ginger is formed. Or turmeric is formed. All of nature is shouting of the glory of God. And we miss it when we only think about vegetation when it's time to eat. That's the only time we appreciate strawberries, when it's time to eat them. Watermelon, around here we know we love it. Only time we think about it is what we can get from it. It's only good because what we want out of it. Why does it always have to be about what we can get out of it, something that we can, so we can enjoy it? Why does it always have to be about what we got to get out of it? I think, family, this attitude comes from the fall. If God said it's good, we should accept that it is good regardless of us trying to steam broccoli or making some smoothie out of vegetables and fruit. Regardless of making those things out of it, we don't make it good. Even though it might taste good, God declared it as good before we even taste it. Yeah. At creation, we are to have dominion over the animals. But right here, it didn't say anything about devouring animals yet. It didn't say anything about eating the animals that we should have dominion over. If I ask in the room right now, if I look around and ask, what do you like about a cow? I'm pretty sure most of us in this room would start mentioning and saying parts of a cow that we like to eat. The reason for this, because we are so determined for the importance of animals based upon what we can get out of them again. When we think about a cow, we're thinking about what we can eat from a cow. So the fall have turned man's heart from just seeing the beauty of God and creation and animals into animals we only like because of what we can get out of them. Over and over we're seeing this. We have turned God's dominion to selfishness. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat a steak. But we should be fine without eating this cow and enjoy how the cow points to the glory of God. How the cow digestive system, how the cow is one of the strongest animals that we know, or livestock. And the only thing they eat day and night is pretty much grass and little grain. Some of them eat only grass, and they get all the protein that is needed. A cow points us to the glory of God. God has probably gave us vegetation to eat for us to be sustained. But we will learn in the months ahead that even though he has given us vegetation to eat, it still won't be enough. God has given them vegetation to be sustained. They get to walk with God in the garden. Even though God gives them all these certain things to be sustained by, it's still not going to be enough for mankind. God said, the vegetation is good. But for us, we only make it good when we want to get something out of it. Christian church, look at how cows, which are vegetarian, graze the land. Eating grass and hay. And cows are actually bigger than and stronger than a lot of other animals that actually eat meat. Not only cows, think about an elephant. Elephant, one of the strongest animals there is. What does the elephant eat? Branches and leaves. We can get everything we need from vegetation and be just fine. Our world tells us that we have to have meat for protein. Tell it to an elephant or a cow. Tell it to other animals. God has given grass and vegetation for us to eat. And by giving it to us, it's enough to sustain us. It's enough to keep us. And this was God's providence for him to design it this way. This same attribute of God will be seen throughout the entire Bible. How God supplies all of our needs. He doesn't just create human beings and just leave us. He gives everything in place. He gives man a wife, or he gives wife a husband. Then he also gives the vegetation of the ground. He gives us actually the responsibility to have dominion. All these things God gives us, he is sustaining us in all this. God supplies our need. And he does the same thing we're going to know with a Savior. How God, and also will sustain his plan from eternity past for redemptive work of his Son coming. God set everything in place for his Son to come and take upon flesh so he can one day redeem us to himself. So this vegetation God has given us to eat, if it's the strawberries and the fruit of the ground, God gives us those things, like avocado. He gives us those things to enjoy, to let us know that I'm a God that sustains my creation. I don't create things and just leave them. I sustain them. And that's what we see, the same God that sustains us. Even when we find out in Genesis 3, when mankind sinned against God, when mankind rebelled against God, man deserved God's eternal wrath. We deserve God's punishment, but God in his goodness still sustained us by sending his only Son. The same attributes of God, even in Genesis 1, is seen all the way throughout the Bible. He's saying, look at creation. If I can sustain for you and I can provide for you in Genesis 1 with the fruits of the ground and the vegetation of the ground, if I can give you those things in Genesis 1, why can't I have a plan for you for eternity? Family, we have to open our eyes and see this. We have to interpret now the Old Testament and see that the attributes of God in every single verse of the Bible, everything is shouting to us of God's glory. So vegetation is good for us. Vegetation points us that God gives us something even better than vegetation. He gives us himself. Vegetation should point us that God is a giver of life. For our physical life and for our spiritual life, God is the giver. Only as we obey God and not eat upon the tree of good and evil, we will be sustained by vegetation and walking with God forever. But when sin came into the world, we found out that vegetation can't save us. It only can keep us alive for so long. Then we're going to die. So even with vegetation, and you might have so many vegetarians in the world trying their best to stay alone until they're alive to 120 years old, whatever the case may be, we will die one day. And we know that because sin came into the world. But God knew we was going to need something better than vegetation. We needed God himself to satisfy us. So the vegetation of the ground, it points to God's providence in sustaining humankind. That we can appreciate God's goodness. And not only appreciate it, just appreciate it, what we can get out of it. We can appreciate and see it before we don't ever eat it. So I would challenge you today, for the rest of your life, before you eat a vegetable or fruit, look at it. See God's creativity on it. As you're in a store looking at vegetables and fruit, think about God's creativity, how God designed it. Maybe that points you to God's attributes. Point number two, the providence of God and food for animals. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. But God doesn't just care for mankind. We see here in verse 30 that God cared for the animals as well. Just how man is sustained by the ground that he came from, we see here that every green plant is also for animals to be sustained by as well. The ground contains all the elements that makes up the human body and animals. Think about it. You know, we think about zinc, magnesium. We think about all those things in the body. Potassium. All those things are in the ground, and all those things are in our bodies. But not only us, but also in animals. Family, we come from the dirt of the ground. And it's teaching us here that that same dirt of the ground created the animals that actually walk the ground. And the thing that animals' body need is found in the plants from the ground. And this is all connected to the wisdom of God. The Big Bang Theory tried to ignore the intelligence that create a world that is sustained. A blob of matter cannot create logic. The Big Bang Theory, it created the grass of the ground for us to eat. It even creates us. It doesn't make sense. The sustainable creation is nothing but the wisdom of God. For God to tell you exactly where it comes from. The grass sprouts up because God plants it. The vegetation sprouts up because God plants it. For mankind and animals to be sustained by it. This is what God is doing. Christians, y'all learned this week that it's an organic, it was an organic farm in northern Arkansas that raised pigs. And all their pigs eat is grass. Have you ever imagined that? When you think about a pig, what do you think about? A pig eating everything. Anything come his way. You can throw out there chicken bones, anything you can throw out there, they eat it. But even pigs can be vegetarian. And they can be just fine. They eat grass, hay, and corn. And other vegetation. All animals today can still be sustained by vegetation. Every single animal today can be fine by eating vegetation. A large portion of my rabbits are diet is about with just hay. And they're healthy as they can be. It's amazing how God's wisdom is seen throughout creation. That these animals still today can be sustained by vegetation. So we must be honest. Meat does taste good. It does. Not only for humans, even for animals. You can ask my wife, Alina, with our chickens. Our chicken prefer meat over vegetables. Because it tastes good. By me tasting good, it shouldn't be overvalued over what God has called good in vegetation in Genesis 1:29. Even though it tastes good, that don't mean we should see it as superior to what God has called good. Because we can learn about the character and the wisdom of God and the makeup or the traits of the fruit. So let me tell you what fruits teaches us, a couple of things. Fruits teaches us the patience when growing, doesn't it? Have you ever grew something before? You waiting on it to come up, aren't you? I'm going to go out there, I'm going to run outside. I'm going to see it come up. It's not up today. I'm going to go the next day. Then eventually what you're going to say, I give up. It'll grow eventually. Fruits of the ground teaches patience. Also, fruits teach us long suffering and working the ground. You want a good harvest of corn? You want a good harvest of tomatoes? You got to put the right fertilizer down. You got to water the plants. You got to till the ground. You got to subdue the ground. You got to do all these things to bring about vegetation, aren't you? So fruits of the ground also teach you long suffering. But also fruits of the ground teach us kindness. When you get all those tomatoes, you can't eat them. You can just share them with others. Not only that, the fruits teaches us the love and how we are to care for the plant daily. You just can't let the plant grow by itself. You go out there and tend to it daily. You show kindness towards it. It teaches the love and how we care for the plant as well, in kindness. But also teaches the joy. After months and months and laboring on that fruit to be able to get it to grow, then eventually you get joy when you see the fruits of your labor. When you start seeing things sprout and vegetation, you get joy. But also it teaches self-control, doesn't it? Not to overindulge in this fruit. Did you just get there what I just said? Did you guys just get what I just said? I just mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. The nature and the fruits, before we even have to even eat them, we can be able to see the fruits of the Spirit in this. This is not anything different from God's character in Galatians 5. He is teaching us through nature the fruits of the Spirit. And that's why I will argue again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the difference between clean and unclean animal, I'm arguing not because of what their diet is or what they taste like. Are they healthy for the body? I'll argue that the actual animals that are clean and unclean is the character of the animals. The character of the animals. God is teaching us to be observant. To observe things. That nature is shouting that I am God. That I am glory. I deserve all the glory. And nature is teaching us patience. It's teaching us how to care. Nature is pointing us to the character of God. So I really encourage you to see how nature points us to the amazing Creator. Even for animals, how they eat the ground as well. It pointed to amazing Creator. Last point, point number three. God's providence is from His perfect wisdom. Verse 31. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. As we wrap up day six, we come to God. We come to this point in test we're about to get ready to get to on the seventh day of God's going to rest. God looks over all everything that He's created, He's made. He said everything is good. This look could be possible reflecting on all what He has done. God just did everything on 6 days, now on the seventh day. Let me look back at everything I've done and see my beauty. That is no excuse. It seemed like he looked back at it in very detail. There's no excuse on day one. There's no excuse on day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six. Every day that I've created, every day is pointing us, pointing all the creation to my glory. So every single day of creation is pointing to the glory of God. And God said, this is enough. It's time to rest. This is enough. He could have gave us one day. He gave us 6 days to see his glory. Family, we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse not to see his glory. God looked around and saw all he's done. And he said it was very good. And again, it's good because God said it was good. And God is calling for us to see things the way he sees things. The way God is looking at every single day, that's how he called us to look at every single day. Look for God's glory. Look for God's glory. And it's so amazing. We have belittled what God says is good. The reason why we don't look at day one, day two, and all the way to six and see him as good, because we depreciate what God has called good. Again, watch your heart. Watch your heart. Challenge your heart. If your heart just only see things good because what you can get out of it, you miss the whole picture in this. Look at creation and see how creation is testifying of who God is. God has given us 6 days to see his glory. Let us not steal that glory. Let us not be so focused throughout the day on our plans for later on that evening. Or what can we buy next from the store? Or what can we do next? Stop and see that everything is testifying to God's glory. And enjoy it. It is so hard for us to do this. Because most of the things we do is for selfish indulgement. The reason why we like rubber, because we can use it to make a basketball. The reason why we like lead, because we can use it to block radiation. The reason why we like old trees is because we can use it for flooring. This is not why God said everything is good. It is good because everything he created points us to his glory and not our glory. It is nothing wrong with liking a basketball, lead blockers, and flooring. But if we only like God's creation because of how we can use them, we get things totally wrong. We should like them even if we don't have anything in common with them. I was talking to my daughter this week, and I asked them, why do you want to go to heaven? One of them said, so I won't go to hell. I said, baby, you want heaven out of fear. Or you want heaven out of fear for your own purposes. I said, you should want heaven because Jesus is there. That you get Jesus forever. That he died for your sins and give you himself forever. The reason why we Christians don't cherish the good creation around us, because we are so far and wrapped up in ourselves that we ask ourselves first how we are going to benefit on it instead of seeing how God said his glory is seen in it. Same thing we do. God looked over his creation and said everything is good because his wisdom is good. May we always be thankful for grace of God and providing for us food. And for us to see his glory through what is given to us and what we eat. And let us always be reminded, by God giving us food, he letting us know right here, he's the God that gives good things. And ultimately, God is going to give his son for us. So we shouldn't be surprised about God's redemptive work. He's already teaching us his attributes. He gives us things. Gives us good things. And one of the good things he gives us is himself forever.
Let us pray.